Good morning. Please stand as you are able and join in our call to worship. Jesus summons us
to answer God's call of mercy.
Christ gathers us
to be healed and to heal,
to be forgiven and to forgive, to be freed from sin and set others free, to tell one another and the world God's presence is at hand. Let us worship God. The mystery of God brings us the promise of life, but we doubt the Spirit's power to overcome death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son, reveals that nothing is impossible with God. Let us confess our sin and receive new life. Triune God,
Holy Three, Holy One,
we confess that we do not know how to look for you. We do not sense your nearness,
and that our angels are
where? We do not show our hospitality to strangers that Abraham showed to you. We do not trust that our hardships can be transformed by your Spirit. O covenant keeper, forgive us. Let us laugh with joy because your grace has made peace among us. Send us out with this good news so that others will also receive your blessing. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Christ gave his life to save us from the wrath of God. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be
to God. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with all you meet, beginning here with those around you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, help us to hear your holy word, that we might be illumined, that illumined we may believe, and believing that we may follow you in all faithfulness and obedience, striving for your kingdom and its righteousness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The reading from the letters today is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, found on page 155 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. This speaks to the results of justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us.
The gospel lesson for today picks up where we left off last week in Matthew chapter 9. We'll pick up at verse 35. It talks about salvation and healing and Jesus' hope for us. Listen now. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus; and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. In her spare time, a friend of mine runs a dog rescue group. The stories she shared about some of the dogs are heart-wrenching. It's amazing how some people do not understand that we were created, at least in part, to be stewards of life on this earth. When they see that cute puppy they brought home is really a Tasmanian devil that needs space in which to release the coil of high energy that's wound up inside its little body, they beat it or tie it up in the yard, sometimes without water. Thank goodness she does not share pictures of the abused creatures that come to the group for help. Those ASPCA ads on TV can be most upsetting. Now, her group makes sure their rescues have good foster homes until they find their forever family. But the animals at some shelters aren't quite as lucky. They're fed and watered and given vet care, but they're all gathered into kennels. Well tended, but still sad. Now, to be clear, human beings are not dogs. Yet in today's reading, Jesus likens the gathered crowd to sheep. And he says these sheep are harassed. Like being an abused dog, being harassed as a human hurts. Harassment causes stress, anxiety, fear, confusion. And without even naming names, we can tell Jesus is pointing to both the Romans and the community's leadership as being perpetrators of this condition. These everyday people had been beaten down with huge temple taxes that went to feathering the nests of the leaders. And worse, when asked for help, those same leaders would quote scribal laws which demanded more from the people than they could ever hope to have. These leaders rarely offered words of comfort or guidance towards real help. Now, like the father whose little girl had died in last week's reading, you'll remember, these people hoped against hope. These people wanted hope for lives with less pain. They hoped for a future where they might be able to have enough food to feed their children each day. They hoped for the Messiah to come and save them from such stress and guide them to green pastures where streams flowed freely. Little did they know God's kingdom of hope was indeed near. Jesus had been traveling around the countryside, teaching about what God really wants with and for us, as well as offering healing and hope to all who would listen to his voice. And now he was there with this flock of sheep whose shepherd had been lost. And what does he say? The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Don't you suppose those within earshot were thinking something like, well, thanks for mixing metaphors, Jesus, but what do you really mean? Up until now, Jesus had simply been taking care of all who came to him. The blind were given sight, the lame were made able to walk again, women were reconnected to their families and communities, and a little girl's life was reignited with the touch of Jesus's hand. Caring for so many people had to be physically, emotionally, and spiritually draining. But God, in Jesus' form, had come to earth to heal, to save people from their distress, and teach them how to honor their Creator. So is Jesus now saying he can't do it all? That he needs help? Maybe. Maybe he is weary from all the ways in which he is serving God by serving human beings. Matthew tells his readers that when Jesus saw this crowd of forlorn folk, his heart went out to them. His compassion was so strong, his body hurt for them right down here in the depths of his being. He hurt for their physical pain and for their sorrow, and for their hunger, and for their loneliness, and for the way in which they were being harassed by the community's leaders. That much spiritual pain leaves a person feeling as depleted as if he's been beaten up by a gang of thieves. And indeed, such nasty things in life are thieves. Maybe he was really saying, oh dear, there are far too many people needing to be healed. I wish there was more help. People in human services work are often reminded the importance of taking care of themselves. Self-care, we call it. And there are good reasons for this. Do you remember the instructions that flight attendants give passengers before takeoff? In case of emergency, we're supposed to put on our oxygen masks before trying to help anybody else, right? We have to take care of our breathing needs so we will be clear-headed enough to assist others. Self-care. Jesus was certainly wise enough to realize that if he was to help more people, he would need more help. He couldn't do it all by himself. But then, too, perhaps Jesus has recognized he won't always be earthbound. And if his message of healing and hope were to survive, he'd have to pass his talents, his skills, his faith on to others, so that they could share them with others into the future. Then again, maybe his work gave him such joy that he wants to share it with others so they too can feel the excitement and elation that he feels when caring for God's people. He could be saying, "Hey, everyone, look at all these people we can help. Let's pray that God will increase our ability to heal them by sending more people to help us." Excitement, you know? No matter what the emotions were behind his statement, Jesus certainly knew that it was time for him to have his closest followers do some preaching and healing on their own. So he calls them to his side. 12 men. And why those 12? Don't you wish Matthew would have told us what the characteristics of a good disciple were so that we would know why Jesus had called these guys? Matthew's already told us the names of 5 of these 12. Matthew, a tax collector who was just called to Jesus' side, what, 2 Sundays ago? James, John, Andrew, and Peter, 4 fishermen from Galilee, one of whom would deny him when the world fell apart, and none that held jobs which would mean helping people. And we know less about the others. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, another James, and Thaddeus. All seem to be pretty ordinary guys, right? Now, we do know, because Matthew says so, that Simon was a Cananean. In Luke's gospel, this Simon is also called a zealot. And those men were religious extremists, men who would even murder others if they didn't think the other person was holy enough. They were pretty far on the edge. So we've got a tax collector, a zealot, and a bunch of ordinary guys. Oh, and yes, we have the other Judas, the one who would betray his teacher. We know about him. Jesus has invited a very diverse group of people to become part of his inner circle of followers. That's curious. You'd think he'd want to find the most qualified candidates to be disciples, wouldn't you? Well, at least they do possess 2 key qualifications. One, they're ordinary Jews. They're very much like the people Jesus wants them to minister with. And 2, they will understand the realities of the folks with whom they'll come into contact. They can feel their pain, for in all likelihood, they too have probably been, or soon will be, harassed and beaten down. That's important experience to have for this kind of work. Now, remember, Jesus was filled with compassion when he saw the crowd. He wanted these men to have compassion, because that word compassion is from a Latin word meaning to suffer with. He wanted these men to know what suffering was, and they surely would know. The other key to their capacity for ministry in Jesus' name is their faith. Matthew doesn't tell us so, but don't you think that they would have to have deep faith to be his representatives? Jesus is giving them his authority to draw demons out of people's lives, and that's huge. It's like having power over Satan. You want somebody who's faithful to do that. He's also showering them with his ability to cure illnesses, to save people, like we talked about last week. He's commanding these men to do many of the same tasks he's been doing as they've traveled around the countryside. All their ordinariness, compassion, and faith would be needed to serve their teacher's purposes, to heal the sick and cast demons out, to help him save these lost sheep so that all might come to know God's compassion, God's hope, God's love for them. Well, maybe all, but what about Simon the Cananean zealot? He was probably pretty rough around the edges. Probably not very fuzzy and warm. How would he fit into this ministry? Perhaps his zeal for God allowed him to connect with people who wouldn't accept God's compassion except from another person who was just as edgy and hardened as they were. It's a possibility. All 12 had gifts to offer in God's service to all kinds of people. Still, it would take more than just these 12 ordinary yet diverse men to even come close to meeting the needs of all the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew wrote this story down so that many people could hear it, learn about Jesus, including us, his 21st century disciples. We are to remember that this is our responsibility too. My animal rescue friend is a fairly ordinary woman. Her day job is nursing, and she senses the distress of people who are physically or emotionally sick. And she is quite a faithful woman, too. Each day, she reaches into her heart to help save lives by coordinating blood drives across 5 counties. This is her faith response to Jesus' command to his disciples to cure the sick. Blood drives are extremely important. Yet her heart is big enough to break wide open when she sees a pup in distress. And God has commanded people to be stewards, caretakers of all life on this earth. So again, she uses her compassion to serve God and acts on her faith and on the animal's behalf. Nothing about the ways in which she has responded to Jesus' mandate is extraordinary. It's all ordinary stuff. Her heart is simply following Jesus' call, just as do our hearts. Now, you might remember that on Pentecost Sunday, we discussed 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In part, that passage read, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Indeed, like the first disciples and like my friend, each of us has been given spiritual gifts, including our ordinariness and our varied levels of compassion and our varied depths of faith. On that day, I asked you to consider how you can use your spiritual gifts for the good of the community and people at this time in your lives. And today, Jesus is commanding his disciples to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. He is asking them to heal the sick and cast out demons. So I wonder, how can we use the gifts we have now to help relieve the pain of Jesus' sheep? To proclaim in word and in deed that the kingdom of heaven is near. After all, we are the laborers Jesus our Lord is sending out into the harvest. So with that in mind, I invite you to take that little yellow sticky sheet and write down one or two of the spiritual gifts that you've been given, and at the end of the service, post it on that lovely easel out in the narthex. You don't have to put your names on it. Just write a gift or two. You see, we often think our gifts are ordinary things. But I believe that we'll be surprised by the depth and the breadth of the possibilities we offer the world in His name. Take a moment. Go ahead and write some things down. Each of us has been given amazing spiritual gifts by God. Each of us can use these gifts, be they ordinary or exemplary, be they deeply compassionate or deeply faithful or not, to help heal the lost sheep of Israel. Today's psalm, if we had read it, would speak to this. It would say that with these gifts we are to be joyous. Listen now for Psalm 100. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his holy name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Let us proclaim God's psalm, this wonderful, wonderful passage, by using our gifts to help, as Jesus' disciples, to bring in the harvest, to heal the lost sheep of Israel. May it be so. Amen.
Please stand and turn to hymn number 341, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Thank you.
Let us affirm our faith aloud using the ideas found in Matthew chapters 9 and 25. I believe in God, who created all things and seeks for all to be in communion with God as God's people. I believe in Jesus Christ, who showed us how to share love and who commissioned us to go out into the highways and byways, inviting all to be part of God's work in the world. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us into the world, then touches the lives of those around us in ways that make them receptive to love. I believe in the harvest and the call for laborers to receive and respond, sharing light and life with the world. Amen.
Some of you have asked how Jim and Sally are doing, and Jim is not well. I believe that he is in his final journey into the transition to the time when he will be able to face the Lord directly. He is joyous, and yet it is a hard, hard passage. We will be praying for others, and I invite you to keep all of them in your hearts and minds as you go through the week. Let us pray. Creator God, out of chaos you gave life. You made all things, the rocks and trees, the skies, the seas, cattle, sheep, and especially our families and friends, whom we love and who love us, and for whom we are so, so grateful. We give you thanks and praise for such simple gifts. We give thanks, too, for your steadfast love and faithfulness. Such compassionate love is a guide to earthly men who seek to serve as good fathers to children in their lives. We ask that you pour your Holy Spirit upon these men so that they can stand in your firm and gentle ways as they guide those you have placed in their care. O holy God, our world is filled with division between the peoples you have created. We pray that your body on earth, the church, will be filled with your Spirit so we may faithfully share your compassion and let everyone know that the kingdom of heaven is near. We especially lift up to you the Southern Baptist Convention and the United Methodist Church as they wrestle with extremely divisive concerns. Help them feel your gracious love pouring over their fractured hearts and guide them to places where their spirits can be renewed. We pray for world leaders and diplomats. Guide their hearts to places of mercy and concern for not just the well-being of their own kind, but for the health and prosperity for all people of the world. We especially lift up to you the people of Uganda who are swirling and whirling, knowing that men have been led against the most vulnerable of their peoples by harming the children at that school. Help them know that in you, O Lord, there will be hope for the future. We pray for doctors, for nurses, and all medical professionals, especially those who serve in war-torn lands or in places where deep poverty abounds. May their ministrations to heal the bodies of those they treat be fruitful, and in so doing, may those persons find renewed hope for their futures. We pray for all who are broken in mind, body, or spirit. We especially pray today for Elva and Dave as he faces the perils of the rare illness which afflicts his body. We pray, too, for Dale, who is facing yet another procedure to strengthen and heal his heart. And for Dora and Merle, whose ills have slowed them down. We pray for Jim and Sally as they face the end of Jim's earthly journey together. Heal these people in ways you deem best, but especially restore these people their courage, giving them hope for their futures. We pray for families whose utility bills are leaping beyond their ability to pay for services, even forcing choices between having electricity or having enough food to eat. Lead these people to desert springs surrounded by fruited trees so that they may be strengthened for the journey throughout the summer's days. This world, O Lord, is yours, and we ask that you shine your holy light on all life upon it. We pray that your kingdom will come and that then all wars will cease and there will be no more disease or poverty or hatred among the people you have placed here. All this we are praying in the name of your earthly self, Jesus, who taught all disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.
While you are turning to hymn number 423, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun, I'd also give a little reminder, as in the past, the song sheets that you had from our first hymn, if you would put those on the table in the narthex, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
My friends, We are indeed the lambs of God's flock. We are the sheep. We are his children. And each of us has been given gifts. Gifts that can be used to glorify God and to help those sheep, those lambs who are suffering in some way. Please use those gifts, for God gave them to you to be used. And God hopes and prays that you will find joy in using them for other people's good. Now go out into the world to do so, but go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit goes with you each step of the way. Amen and amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
Danielle, which is my brother's daughter that lived up here.